Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Corey Johnson. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and we're truly excited that you've decided to worship with us, especially after Thursday's storm. I don't know about you, but I'm still recovering. but we're truly thankful that you're here with us this morning. For the past several weeks, we've been in the series, Come, Let Us Adore Him. And what we've been doing is that we've been looking at the birth of Jesus from several different angles. And what we've been doing is trying to compare him to a few different persons that surrounds his scene. And we try to do a compare and contrast. In one of our first sessions, we learned that Jesus exceeds John the Baptist in that he's greater than a prophet. He is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. In another session, we learned that even though Jesus was not born in a palace, that he is the King of Kings to whom we present our offerings, and the King of Kings before whom all the kings of the world will one day bow their knees. And so this morning, we want to continue in that vein, and we want to look at the idea of Jesus, of come, let us adore him, Jesus, our Savior. Amen. How many of us have ever been lost? Okay, all right. How many of us have ever felt lost? Okay, good. I don't know about you, but this Christmas season, I feel lost. You know, I'm so used to the festivities and all the things that the hustles and the bustles that come with the season. And this year, it just feels like it's just blah, right? And it doesn't feel like a regular Christmas season. This pandemic that we've had, it has rocked our world. And for some of us, this season is not necessarily a season of peace, but rather it's been a season of crisis. It's been a season of uncertainty. It's been a season of unwelcome change. And so many of us this season, we feel lost. And all we're doing, all we want is a sense of peace in this season. How many of us are there? All we're looking for is a sense of peace. And the one thing I love about God is that God has promised to send his Savior, which is the source of peace. But the question is, where and how can I find this peace? And today what we're going to do, we're going to look at a few men who found God's promise and their lives was forever changed. And so before we get started, can we pray and get our hearts ready for the word of God? Lord, we just want to say thank you for who you are. Thank you, O God, for giving us the breath of life and that we're able to live and breathe and move, O Father God, freely. We ask, O God, that as we enter your word this morning, that your presence will be here, and above all, God, that you will speak to our hearts individually and on a very personal way. May you have your way this morning, God, as we leave our hearts open and receptive to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, our text comes to us from Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be reading from verse 8 to verse 20. But before we read, we just want to set the context for what is going on. You see, in the first few verses, in the first seven verses 1 to verse 7, we see where Mary and Joseph, they were living in Nazareth, and they were about 9 months pregnant. But while they were making preparations for the baby, you know, Joseph must have painted the nursery, you know. He must have moved out all the things and put the crib in and everything like that. You know, Mary, she must have put some decorations on the wall and everything like that. She was getting comfy and cozy. You know, they had their pregnancy bag at the door, you know, just ready. Okay. While they were making preparations for them to deliver the baby, something happened that rocked their world. The Bible tells me that the Roman government, they issued a decree, because what they wanted to do, they wanted to count all the people so that they could set things up for them to gather or collect tax. And for Mary and Joseph, this meant that they had to move back to Bethlehem. You might think that this is a simple issue, but you must understand that Bethlehem was about 90 miles away from Nazareth. 90 miles. And their only mode of transportation was either a donkey or their legs. And you can see on the screen, you know, as they are traveling, she must have been on a donkey. And how many of us know that you don't want to move a woman who is 9 months pregnant? And even if you're moving her, you don't want to move her too far. Hello? Okay. She's 9 months pregnant, and she has to make a journey of over 90 miles, and this is a 10-day journey by foot or by donkey. And so this is not an easy time for them. In fact, this could potentially end up in crisis, right? It could be a time of crisis, a time of uncertainty, and a time of doubt. So you think that, you know, she's pregnant with the Holy Child, and, you know, once they get to Bethlehem, things would get better. But once she gets to Bethlehem, things only got from bad to worse. The Bible tells me that there was such an influx of people in that area. There was such a great multitude of people in that town that there was absolutely no room for them, available for them to have their baby. And so the only place that they could find that was safe, that was warm enough, was in a stable outside. The Bible tells me that in this stable, they gave birth to baby Jesus. And as they gave birth to baby Jesus, the question is, how is God going to make known to the world that his son, that the promised child, has been born? You see, let me suggest something to us this morning, that sometimes God has to cause some crisis, and God has to cause some things to change in our environment for us to move from where we think we need to be to where he wants us to be. Because as much as Mary was comfortable in Nazareth and Joseph was comfortable in Nazareth, that was not the place of promise. The place of promise was in Bethlehem. And God has to orchestrate the events of their culture and their society to move them from that place that they were comfortable to the place of his promise. And some of us know that I'd rather be in God's promise than be in a place of comfort. Amen? And this is something that we want to unpack this morning. And so what we want to do, we want to jump down in verse 8, and we want to pick it up from there. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8, says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left and gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said. But Mary, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." May God add his richest blessing to the reading of his words. Let the church say, amen. Amen. You see, as we reflect on this text this morning, there's just one idea that I would want to share with you this morning. It's just one idea. It's a very simple idea. And if you leave here and don't get anything else, I would love for you to get this one idea. Can we tell you what the idea is? It's simply this, that God uses signs to point to his promise. It's simple as that. God uses signs to point to his promise. I think many of us in here, this is a very important thing for us to grasp. And this is especially true when we're going through times of difficulties, and when we're going through those experiences in life, when we don't feel like what we're going through lines up with our dreams and with our expectations. Have you ever been there? You know, you think that this is the path that you should go. You think that this is the place you should be. But somehow, some way, you feel a little bit uneasy. You don't feel comfortable. This thing is not comfortable. I don't get any peace here. And it is in these times that we need to understand that God uses signs to point to his promise. Why? If you think of a sign, a sign is directional in nature, right? I mean, if you're lost and you want to find where you're going, all you need is a sign. You know, when you were coming through and you were coming to this location, I'm sure that as you came down Jericho Turnpike, you saw a sign and it directed you where you should go. But signs are only as important as you knowing where you are going, yes? Because if you get a sign and it does not align with where you are going, the sign won't make sense. In fact, it will mislead you. In fact, it will deceive you. And quite often, when we as believers are in these moments of crisis, these moments of uncertainty, we tend to look for a sign. And we pray to God, God, give me a sign to get me out of here. How many of us have ever prayed that prayer? And I'm afraid that sometimes when God doesn't answer our prayers, we turn to other mediums and we turn to other sources for a sign. And just as a sign can lead you in the right direction, a sign can also lead you in the wrong direction. And so we want to make sure that we're careful that whatever sign that we receive, that it aligns with the word of God, that it is a sign that comes from God. Amen? And so this morning, as we look at the text, we want to unpack what it looks like for God to give us a sign. Is that okay? Let's look at the text. The Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord appeared, and he says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." What we see here is that God sends his angel and he announces a word. And as he announces the word, he backs it up and says, listen, the way that you're going to authenticate this word, the way you're going to prove this word, the way you're going to affirm this word is by a sign that I'm going to give. And what we see right here in this text is a certain pattern in which God gives his signs. And it's simply this, that signs follow God's word and they are consistent with his word. I'm going to say that one more time. Signs follow God's word and they are consistent with his word. It is important for us to understand this as believers. Because quite often, the first thing we do is that we ask God for a sign. And God is saying, no, you have the order reversed. Did you hear a word from me? Hello, somebody. Whenever you look at this word signs in the Bible, you always see this pattern. God gives his word, and then he follows it with a sign. Hello, somebody. He gives the word, and then he follows it with a sign. That is the pattern. And if we get it reversed, chances are we will run into error. Amen? We live in New York, and during the height of the pandemic, our governor has been giving us daily briefings on the state of affairs in New York. And what I found interesting is that almost always, there is always someone there performing sign language. Have you seen them? And what the governor wants to do by having someone perform a sign language is that he wants to communicate to all his constituents irrespective of their hearing abilities, right? But there's a certain pattern to the signer, though, right? I don't understand sign language, so I trust that whatever the signer is doing is the correct thing, right? But there's a certain pattern to how this person signs, in that the governor speaks and then he signs. If he signs before the governor speaks, chances are he's going to communicate something that is not consistent with what the governor wants to communicate. So first the governor speaks, then he signs, but not only that, he has to sign in a way that is consistent with what the governor wants to communicate. And if he does not do that, he is going to deceive those who are looking at the sign. It's the same principle when it comes to us as believers. God is going to give us a word, and if peradventure we need a sign, he will give us a sign. But let me encourage you this morning that when you're going through periods of crisis, when you're going through periods of doubt, when you're going through periods of uncertainty, seek his word. Seek his word. Amen? Because it's his word that's going to direct you. God uses signs to point to his promise. When you understand this, you will see how beautiful this entire story of pointing to the promised child of Jesus Christ is. Notice that when the angels spoke to the shepherds, they were out in the fields, and they didn't give the shepherds Joseph and Mary's name. They didn't give the name of Jesus' parents to them. In fact, they didn't even give Jesus' name to the shepherd. All they said is, listen, in the town of David, yes, a child has been born, and the only thing that you're going to know to use to identify this child is that you will find this babe, he's going to be wrapped in cloth, and he's going to be lying in a manger. And when you see that sign, guess what? You will know for certain that this is the Savior. This is the Messiah. It's not as though he could pull up Google, the shepherds could pull up Google and type in Jesus' address and type in Jesus' name and a map comes up and shows them this is where Jesus is. No, no, no. All they had was a word from God, and all they had was a sign from God. And that was enough to point them to the promised child. Hello. Man, I wish that many a times, you know, we could do away with this these technologies, because just maybe it will force us to depend on God a little bit more. Hello? Right, but technology is good. Technology is good. Amen? Amen. So even though these men received this word, and even though these men were out in the field, the Bible says that they received this word from God, and it was the promised word from God. It was the promised word from God. And we see the response of these shepherds, and the first thing that they did, as we see here in the text, is that they received God's word. They received God's word. And the reality is that if we're going to enjoy the blessings, if we're going to enjoy the promises of God, we are called to receive God's word. Before we jump to that for a minute, can I talk to you a little bit about promise? A promise is a very powerful thing. A promise is a very powerful thing. Let me ask you, most of us in here, we're college, okay, yes, we're college kids. Okay, good. Or college adults, let me correct myself. Before you got accepted into college, I'm sure that you must have applied to many different schools, yes? And there was this one particular school that you might have always wanted to go to. And when you got that acceptance letter, man, you were so excited. You were so giddy. You were so joyful. Like, yay, I got accepted into the school of my choice. And did anyone get an acceptance letter? Okay, good. That acceptance letter is a promise. And what a promise does is that a promise, it builds trust. Right, it arouses hope, and more often than not, a promise causes a change in your behavior. That's how powerful a promise is. When somebody makes you a promise, they're trying to establish a certain level of trust with you. They're trying to build hope in you, and they want, most importantly, to change your behavior. When you got that acceptance letter, man, you know, and you, it's a promise, and the school is saying, you know, I guarantee that there is a spot available for you at this school. They are establishing a relationship. They are trying to build trust between you and them. Not only that, but as soon as you get that promise letter, you can just start to envision yourself sitting in that school. You can just envision yourself being on that campus. That's hope. You're seeing yourself differently. But most importantly, it causes a change in your behavior. Before, you used to apply to several different schools, but once you got accepted into that school, you have stopped the application process to every other school. Not only that, before you were a little bit nervous about whether or not to gather your stuff and to get your things together, but once you got that acceptance letter, you were out shouting to your friends, you were on Facebook telling your friends, oh, I got accepted, change, and you throw a party. Whenever you receive a promise, it establishes trust It builds hope, but most importantly, it causes a change in behavior. And whenever God makes a promise to you, it's the same thing that he's trying to do with us, is that he's trying to build a relationship between you and him. He's trying to build your hope, and he's trying to cause you to change your behavior. And so the question is, this shepherd, they have received the promise, and the question is, how would they respond? And the Bible tells me that they responded in faith. The Bible tells me the first thing is that they received God's word. And look at what they said in verse 15. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." In other words, when they received the word from the angel, they received it as if it's a word from the Lord. And may I encourage and may I suggest to you this morning, believers, that if we are going to experience the promises of God, if we are going to experience the joy that comes with having the promise of God, with having the Savior in our lives, we too are called to receive the word of God. We too are called to trust in the word of God. God is calling us to a deeper trust in his word. But not only did the shepherds receive the word, the Bible tells me that they hoped in his promise. They hoped in his promise. Look at verse 15 again. It says, when the angels had left and gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." That is hope. Whenever you have hope, you can see your future. You can see something different about what is going on. There's certain expectancy that comes with that. That is exactly what is going on here. In other words, these shepherds, they were neither naive nor were they cynical. And how many of us know that it's easy to become cynical in our environment? We just stepped out of an election, and many of us, you know, we see these politicians, and every year and every political season, they make promises after promises, and we know that they're going to break their promise. And so it's easy for us to become cynical. You know, many of us, we might have been married, or we might have had a boyfriend, or we might have had a girlfriend, or we might have a dad who promised stuff and didn't keep their promise. And so whenever somebody makes a promise to us, we're a little bit, I can't put my hope in that. I can't trust what you're saying. But God kept his promise. And the beauty about this promised child coming is that it was a promise that God made to us in the Garden of Eden when he said, a child is going to come and crush the head of the serpent. It was a promise that he made to Moses. It was a promise he made to Abraham. It was a promise that he made to Isaac. It was a promise that he made to Jacob. It was a promise that he made to David that says, listen, there is a ruler that is coming that's going to sit on your throne forever. God kept his promise. And when God makes a promise to you, you can put your hope in it. Amen? But not only did they receive God's word, not only did they hope in God's word, but most importantly, they reordered their priorities. They what? They reordered their priorities. Pastor, how do you know that? Well, let's look at the text. Verse 15 says, when they had seen the angel had gone back, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem." They were decisive. They made a decision to say, "Let's go to Bethlehem." Now, let's back up a little bit. Notice that these shepherds, what were they doing? They were watching over their flocks by night. In other words, these were dedicated men. These were committed men to their work. But even though they were committed to their work, even though they were dedicated to what they were called to do, they understood the importance of responding to God, and they understood the importance of worship. It doesn't matter how busy we are, it doesn't matter how committed we are, we must take time out. We must realign our priorities such that when God gives us a word, we change the way we order things so that God takes first place. Hello. They had to realign their priorities. And God is calling us to do that this morning. So the shepherd, they received his word. They hoped in his promise. And they reordered their priorities. When you look at verse 20, the Bible tells me that in verse 20 says here, that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for the things they had heard and seen. which were just as it had been told to them. When the shepherds, when they experienced the promised child, when they saw the promised child, when they came and it was just as they told, they found Jesus lying in a manger. They found the Savior lying in a manger, just as it had been told. The Bible tells me that they erupted in praise. They were praising and glorifying God. Now, this idea behind glorifying and praising God, it wasn't them, you know, sitting in a corner being cute and like, okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. No. This was them having a celebration. This was them lifting up their hands and glorifying God. The Bible even tells me that they went out into the entire community and they were telling everybody about what they had seen, what they had heard. This was a time of celebration because they had found the promise child. Whenever you receive the promise of God, worship is the appropriate response. Worship is the appropriate response when we receive the promise of God. And so this morning, if we're looking for joy and if we're looking for peace, we can find that in the promises of God. We can find that in the Savior. We can find that in Jesus this morning. But you know, one thing I see in this text is that as the shepherds, they praised and they worshiped God after they found the promise. Yes? That's what the text says. But we on this side of history, we have the vantage point of looking back and seeing how the movie ends. We have the vantage point of looking back and seeing how God orchestrated the lives of so many people to bring about glory and praise to His name. And so we understand that God's promise can be trusted. And you know what? Whenever God makes a promise to you, whenever God gives you a word, you don't have to wait until it's fulfilled for you to praise Him. You can start praising Him right now. And you want to find, you want to know how you have joy amidst a life crisis? You want to know how you have joy amidst the uncertainties of life? You can praise Him once you receive a word from the Lord. Because you know that God's promises are true. He's going to keep them. And so as a believer, things around me might look crazy, but I can still have a smile on my face. Silly things around me might be looking as though it's falling apart, but I can still have peace in my heart. Things around me might, I might not know what my future looks like, but guess what? I can move with hope. I might not know what tomorrow is going to bring. I might not know what the job market is going to look like. I might not know what my grades are going to look like. But you know what? Because I believe and trust in the promises of God, I can praise Him right now. Do you know the promises of God? Watch this clip this morning.
There are over 3,000 promises made in the Bible, made by God for us. 3,000 promises made not just to us, but promises made for us. We should want them all. Promises like, I am complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. I am alive with Christ. I am free from the law of sin and death. I am far from oppression and fear does not come near me. I am born of God and the evil one does not touch me. I am without blame before Him in love. I am the mind of Christ. I have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. I have received the power of the Holy Spirit. I have put off the old and I have put on the new. I have given and it is given to me. I have no lack, for my God supplies all of my needs according to His riches. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have been called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. I am God's child. I am God's workmanship created in Christ unto good works. I am a believer and the light of the gospel shines in my mind. I am a doer of the word and blessed in my actions. I am a joint heir with Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. I am an ambassador for Christ. I am part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I have been purchased and ransomed by the blood of Christ. I am forgiven of all my sins and washed in the blood. I am delivered from the power of darkness. I am firmly rooted, built up, established in my faith, and overflowing with gratitude. And I am strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. The devil flees from me because I resist him in the name of Jesus. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I am greatly loved by God. It is not I who live, but Christ lives in me.
Do you know? God uses signs to point to his promise. And whenever you're going through doubt, whenever you're going through crisis, whenever you're going through periods of uncertainty, we need to turn to the promises of God. Amen? You see, over 2,000 years ago, the Bible tells me that God gave these shepherds a sign for them to find baby Jesus, to find the Savior. And the sign that was given to them was that they would find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. But you know what? That was the sign for them to find the baby Jesus, who is the Savior. But God has also given us a sign in this time for us to find the man Christ Jesus, who is still our Savior. The Bible tells me that Jesus Christ, he took on the sins of the world, and they nailed him to the cross. And when he died, the Bible tells me that they took his body and they wrapped him in cloth and they laid him in a tomb. But just as the manger is empty this morning, the tomb is also empty. And that tells you that Jesus Christ, he is the risen Lord. He is the risen Savior. And he's here to set you free. So just as those shepherds who were on the outside found Jesus by looking at the manger, you can find Jesus by looking at the empty tomb. So where are you this morning? Where are you? Are you close to Jesus, like, you know, like probably the sheep were, you know? Are you close to him? You know, the Bible tells me that Mary pondered all these things in her heart. Are you close to Jesus? Or are you like the shepherd who is on the outside? But even if you are on the outside, God has given you a way to find him. And the question is, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? Are you going to receive his word? Are you going to hope in his promise? And more importantly, are you going to align your priorities with him? Wherever you are on that spectrum, the Savior has enough power to bring you close to him. And that's what he wants to do today. Could you stand to your feet with me? Could you bow your heads with me? Father, we want to say thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. Thank you for giving us the promise of a Savior. God, many times we feel as though we can save ourselves, but just as a doctor cannot heal himself and just like a lost man cannot find himself, God, we who are on the outside of your presence, God, we need you to direct us. We need you to guide us. We need you to come and rescue us. And so, God, we ask that you will step into our situations this week, that you will step into the conditions of our lives in this Christmas season. Father God, help us, oh Father God, to bow our knees before the Savior this week. Help us to bow our knees before the Savior today and surrender our lives to him. Holy Spirit, do your work in our hearts. Do your work in our minds this morning as we surrender everything to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.